Welcome to Close the Door and Come Here, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast with heavy leanings towards our two favorite characters, Jaime and Brienne.
There, there was a bear there, all black and brown and covered in hair.
Hi, I'm Clotho, and you can find me at Clotho Spindle on Twitter. And today I'm joined with Guile.
Hey, I'm Guile, and I tweet at Door Podcast.
Lot.
Hi there, I'm Lot.
Devin.
Hey, I'm Devin, GD Harpo on Twitter.
Kama.
Hi, I'm Kama, Kama Splice on Blue Sky Social.
And Chicky.
Hey, I am Chicky, and I am Chicky on Blue Sky.
The whole gang.
It's all of us.
Yeah. We're going to be discussing Samwell's fourth chapter in A Storm of Swords with all the usual trigger warnings for any potential discussions of rape or violence. We jump right in with Sam and Gilly have made it back to Castle Black. Gilly's now caring for both her son and Dala and Mance's child. After, unfortunately, Dala has at this point died in childbirth. We learn that a little later on in the chapter, more details. But basically, Sam's was basically relieved because they were, you know, heading back, but they managed to run into Night's Watch survivors, and not somebody worse, you know. And from they were these survivors from the Battle of the Bridge of Skulls, and he's shocked to see the state. You know, when they get back to the castle, the common hall's burnt and the great wooden staircase is kind of say it's massive, like burnt and melted ice. And it's crowded with Stannis's soldiers. And
you know what this kind of feels like, you know, that gif from Community where I forget what Donald Glover's character name was, but he like walks in with pizza and the apartment's like on fire and comes back like, what happened here?
I think that was Troy.
Yeah, this is absolute mess. And just, you know, he's trying to explain all these, like they mentioned the sigil, the fiery heart, because he's trying to explain, you know, to Gilly, and you know, this is the Queen's Men's new sigil, and it's, you know, because Stannis has brought Melisandre there, and they're like the Red Woman's with him, but he left his wife at Eastwatch with his daughter and the fleet. And you know, he's kind of running into people here and there, and they come upon John, and you know, he's really, you know, he's glad to see John again. Val is here, and she's kind of pushing for, which she, you know, makes sense. She wants Mance to be able to see his son because they have a feeling Mance is not long for this world. And John's just like, you know, they're not going to let it happen. The only one is, I think Master Aemon's the only one who's like going in to see Mance right now. And, you know, he's like, this isn't likely to happen. You know, he's about a foreshadowing or not. He's like, if it was up to me, you know, if he was in charge, he would, but.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is foreshadowing.
Oh gosh. It's just such a, and just thinking about all this is leading up to, oh, poor Gilly. And,
I mean, speaking of poor Gilly, I want to just back up to like the very beginning of this chapter, because it was obvious, like, you know, like it's talking about like her breastfeeding these two babies, right? That is no small feat. And I feel like it was just like glazed over because George wrote it. Like, I don't think this is said enough. Like, breastfeeding is fucking hard. It's one of the hardest things like I've ever had to do. And like the fact that she was able to establish just getting her own baby to feed and then the other, like, I don't know, go Gilly. Anyone else have thoughts? No.
Oh yeah, no, it's vile.
It was real casual. Like, I suspect he's read about like wet nurses and just assumes it's a thing that women can just do on command.
Yeah, I guarantee that we've already discussed this more than George has ever thought about the logistics of breastfeeding.
But like, and like, even like nowadays, like they know so much more about it, and like right. you almost go through like training to like before to get it to happen. Like they right. talk about nipple confusion. What are they feeding this baby with before this? I don't know. It had like goat's milk and some kind of medicines that the maesters were, or not maesters, or whoever was giving this baby whatever.
And she's malnourished. That's hard on your body. She's like, oh, you know, the fact that she could even produce enough at that point, if she's like, there's stress, malnourishment.
Yeah, because especially because her little baby, mm-hmm. she said hardly ever had any, but she's like, I got supply for both. I'm like, that just doesn't happen like that.
Mm-hmm. It's like supply and demand, exactly. Yeah, it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it kind of got me thinking. And it does allude to it, too, about the infant mortality rates that would have, like, I mean, of the era that's kind of being depicted, you know, a child not getting a name until it was three and through the wildlings. And I think that's like, that was a thing. Like, I remember going to like a pioneer village, and like the lady that gave the tour was saying that it was quite common for children not to have a name until they were seven in some places. So like my husband would always make a joke like, but I love this kid so much. Just give him a name about our kids. But yeah, no, it was a thing. Yeah. Good Gilly. Like, that's no fault. No small feat. Go Gilly.
I know. And I kept thinking the whole time about what's going to happen to this poor, just awful, just the whole situation. And I know they're trying to be slightly empathetic, but just none of them understand. Like, these guys, like, even, I don't, you know, just, John's about to do all this. But yeah, so and that's kind of segues into like what sort of Sam wants to happen with Gilly is this, which doesn't sound like a bad idea. He's like kind of bringing this up with John, like, you know, when they're alone, he's like, you know, I'm thinking about doing this thing. I want to send my dad a letter, and I want to basically say, you know, Gilly, her son is mine, and, you know, please take care of him. You know, he's kind of banking on the fact that maybe his father will be like shocked and proud that he has some kind of child, even if it's like a bastard child. And, you know, it'd have to lie through letter. But, you know, John's just understandably skeptical about that because, you know, his dad is not as good. You know, he knows from John, from Sam, that his dad is not the greatest person or kindest person.
You know, I think John, you know, kind of also knows the life of the bastard in the Lord's house. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to, like, you know, give a realistic expectation of what could happen to this kid.
Yeah, but I do have to say, I mean, like, I'm not sure what other options there are for Gilly right now.
I
don't know how it work. I mean, Randall Tarley is a bastard in the figurative sense, but like
he says his mom, you know, he said he knows his mom would want this baby, like his mom wants it. And, you know, I think he's counting on his mom more than his dad.
Yeah. And I mean, like if her options, I mean, they're not going to let her stay at the wall with the kid. Where's she going to go? I mean, you know, there's not really another option. It's a nice thing he wants to do as long as it works. But,
yeah, distance works in that favor, too, because if he's not there, can't catch him in a lie, you know.
Yeah, and we actually have a question about this. That'd go perfect right here. So Cardinal Girl 75 from Discord asked, what do you think would happen if Sam goes through with this crazy idea to claim Gilly's son as his and send Gilly and the child to his father?
I mean, the other possibility here is, like, let's say that he sends Gilly off with this letter and the baby. And let's say Randall Tarley is, like, you know, skeptical, but takes them in. There's no guarantee he takes Gilly in.
Well, even if he did, could you imagine what that would be like for Gilly? Talk about a culture shock. Like, she's like this chapter talking about the colors of the banners. Like, everything is so new and different than how she's been raised. Like,
I don't think she'd be happy. If she survived Craster, you know, maybe that was training enough.
Good point.
Yeah, in which Sam even makes that point. Like, yeah, she'll be put to work, but it won't be near as bad as what she was doing for Craster. and with Krasker. So I think the point about distance, like if Sam doesn't have to deliver her, like have to go with her, doesn't make that journey, I think it could be fine. I feel like if Sam went, I don't know if he would be able to hold the lie together in front of his dad. I feel like that never
kind of crumbles.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's that sad moment too, and like Sam was talking about how the baby's not actually his, so like, and it'll be more like Craster, so you know, maybe his dad will take to it better.
Oh gosh, oh yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just always so interesting to see Sam, even though he's done all these things that are considered brave up until this point, he just still does not give himself enough credit in anything, and particularly when he thinks about home.
Right. And probably, you know, his love for Gilly could probably help in this, you know, capacity and help him to overcome, you know, any of these issues and, you know, do it for her. Oh, gosh. So Sam's kind of, John's saying, you know, he's going to go to the train in the yard, and Sam's kind of cautioning him, like, you know, he needs to let his wounds heal. And but John's basically like, what else am I going to do here? Like, they've taken away his duties, and we kind of get, you know, more information to Sam about what's been going on. That he's, you know, they basically, since they consider him a turncloak, you know, most of them are kind of still down on him for failing to kill Mance. He's getting no respect right now, and that's his only, you know, what else to do? So I'm going to go do that. And Sam sort of suggests that that Stannis won't necessarily view him the same way. You know, he's like, you brought him the Horn of Winter. He captured Mance's son, and you know, John's kind of back like, well, they're calling me a warg, and you know, and we get the information here when this comes up that he said he doesn't dream of ghosts anymore. All his dreams, you know, he's dreaming dreams of the crypts and the, you know, Winterfell and the Stone Kings, and here's where Sam thinks he's tempted to tell him that he saw Bran and that Bran's not dead. But he basically swore not to. With, you know, he swore to Bran, swore to Jojen Reed, and swore to Cole Hands that he wouldn't. So he's kind of like, basically the only comfort he can give John in this conversation is like, well, Lord Janos is never going to be chosen as the Night's Watch. So, you know, that kind of interaction,
I love how Sam just kind of like tells himself that the whole meeting with Bran was so incredible that it might have just been something he imagined. I kind of appreciate that. He's like, that was so weird. Maybe it wasn't even real. Maybe I hallucinated it.
Yeah, it was the was surreal. Especially with Cold Hands and everything, like all of it, just
the magic door,
the door.
Everything, it's crazy.
Oh gosh, and that's so funny because we're just talking about Sam not being able to lie, and like here's like a huge lie, and like, oh yeah. My gosh, so he's doing it. Oh man. Yeah, so John, you know, goes off, leaves Sam, and Sam's on his way to the rookery, and he stops to check the vote. We kind of get some kind of idea how this whole vote thing is working, and the list is like, at this point, the first list of numbers, Sir Dennis Malister is like at 213, Cotter Pike 187, Lord Slint 74, Othel Yorick is 60, Bowen Marsh is 49, we got Three Finger Hobbit 5, and one for Dolorous Ed Tullet. So somebody voted for Ed. And they basically, he's talking about how Janice Slint is slowly climbing into numbers every day. And I guess, like, jumping a tiny bit ahead, in one of the further scenes with Mr. Iman describes how they basically vote. They vote. Are they voting until, what I wasn't sure about, is they're voting until every single vote is for the same person?
No, two-thirds.
Two-thirds. Okay. Because they said one time it took up to 2 years. So, and there are 20 days. So, or 10 God. Days. 10 days. They're at 10 days.
Which
so
is early. Ridiculous.
It sounds almost like what... I really wonder if George had been reading about, like, I think it was Taft's selection and how he ended up being nominated for president. I mean, it was a sort of like every day, like people would like, I think it's how political nominations used to work, like at a party kind of situation.
See, like, you could get.
You'd be caucusing and canvassing within, like, you know, at the convention with the delegates and stuff like that, and eventually you get your guy.
So stressful.
Well, there's also like an element of like papal election here, isn't there? I mean, we don't get the smoke, but I mean, like,
oh, you're right.
There's a little bit of that.
You're 100% right.
I just like the Mean Girls moment with Dolores's vote. It's kind of like Janice getting nominated for the queen of whatever that dance was.
I know. That's like awesome. That night, Sam is like, he comes back. They're in this hall again to vote. He takes a seat with his friends and he's looking around noticing John isn't there. And they're, you know, he sort of he thinks to himself as they're eating this mammoth that like Three Finger Hob was like basically giving them only like it's going to make them, he'll get more votes for giving this mammoth. But he's like, it shouldn't have been a stringy, if, you know, get a younger mammoth if you're going to try to, you know, bribe people for votes.
I gotta say, I was like, it's been a while since I've cracked these books open. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot there's fucking mammoths.
I know. Yeah. I know. Oh my gosh. And I mean, I guess they don't have any problem. Like, they could store that for a long time, that cold.
Oh, God. Yes. Years.
So
freezer
Sam,
burnt mammoth.
Oh, gosh. Oh, God. Oh, man. So much must be freezer burnt. Oh, my goodness.
Including John.
I'm sitting here trying to think, like, what kind of meat it would be, like, elephant meat. And then I'm like, I wonder what elephant meat's like.
Oh, no.
I'm tail spinning.
Oh, no. Yeah, did George, like, research this?
I could never eat, like, I know it's silly. Like, there's some animals I just could never eat. I could never eat, I guess, an elephant and then also a mammoth because they're smart. I could never eat, like, an octopus for that reason or a dolphin. But it's like, you know, I do like pigs. They're smart. So I'm going on a tangent.
I've had octopus. It's pretty good.
I just, they're so smart. I don't think I could eat mammoth.
Maybe it tastes like bison or something.
I could eat that.
Okay, so let's see. Okay, so they're building up to this vote. Sam's kind of observing, and he sees that Jenna Slint has a spot, the best spot near the fire, and he's surrounded by like the other potentials. So it's kind of red flags going up of what's going on here. And after the meal, Maester Aemon asks if any of the brothers wish to speak. And here's where we get the funny part where, so Dolores Ed gets up first and he's like, you know, before they're casting tokens, he's like, I just want to say whoever's voting for me that I would certainly make an awful Lord Commander, but so would all these others. Oh, and the next one we got, you know, so we're getting here is Bowen Marsh stands up and he kind of announces he's withdrawing his name. So we know what all this, you know, negotiations going on, or what's happening here, which way the wind's blowing. And he's asking them to give your votes to Jenna Slint instead. So
you gotta wonder what they're like bargaining for, like what deals are being made here exactly.
Yeah. Right, what's convincing them?
You're in the watch, so there's only so much somebody can give you for something. We all kind of have the same right now.
I think we find out. Isn't Bowen Marsh swayed by Tywin? Am I crazy? Oh. Don't we eventually find that? Don't quote me. I haven't read through this junk for so long. Don't quote me on that.
We'll get there. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm kind of amazed that Jenna Slint is, I'm still amazed that he's even on the table at all against these other men.
Yeah. Cause he's brand fucking new. He is so new. He's like so new here.
And
why
it's
are
not
they
like he's coming in now with like, it's not like he's a Ned Stark. Let's say Ned had made it to the wall alive.
Taurus. Yeah.
Well, he's got not like somebody with that kind of chops. He's this nobody from King's Landing, and yes, he was in charge of the Gold Cloaks, but I mean, that's not really. These are men who've like been in charge of various castles and shit, and they've been there for a long time.
Yeah, it is weird. So the other candidates are kind of muttering at this point, and everybody, the sort of voting begins ramping up, and they're dropping their tokens into an iron kettle. They sort of describe it afterwards. Sam and Clytus are counting the tokens, and this sort of the system of, like, you know, it's like shells and rocks and basically anything, like little coppers.
You
get
so
or...
game this system.
Like, I was gonna say,
guys, like going in there so with a handful of other people's day with us.
Yeah, totally right. You know, this is like ultimately open for rigging. Sam's relieved that no one else is even close, like, after the adjustments. So he's just like, okay, so we got, like, some time here, and this is where, you know, we got the information about, like, Meister Aemon talks about how it's only been 10 days, this could go for a while. And he's, you know, he's been around so long, he's like, they're going to eventually come to their decision. It happens. You know, he meets up with his boys later, and they're all like, you know, it's Pip, he's insisting that, like, someone has to convince. They're like, this mystical someone that, like, I think Sam's sort of like, oh no, he's Cotter Pike and Sir Dennis. Like, someone needs to convince them to back the other so that they can gain the majority, because it's better than Janice. And now they're, you know, it's like Sam's kind of, no, I really don't want to. And, you know, they're kind of pushing. He's like, you know, I would if I wasn't too craven to face them. So that's where we end this chapter. But Sam's just like, it doesn't, the selection's not going well.
Sam doesn't want to accept the responsibility for fixing things.
Yeah. I mean, political maneuverings is not his forte in negotiations.
He's got to learn fast.
Yeah. Politics, man.
do we have any more questions for this chapter?
No. Yes, we do. We have a couple. So our first one is from Buck O'Hare on Discord. How much election malpractice did Sam engage in?
Yeah, because I mean that I wouldn't blame anybody in a situation.
No, well, of course we're going to be sympathetic to Sam, but he does play pretty dirty eventually. He does.
Dirty but necessary.
Yeah, and I mean, really, how could you prove it? Like, there would be no way of, you know.
Given the counting system and the way they do this, he could have just done it a lot easier, right. To be quite honest.
He could have made Dolores Edd Knight's Commander.
Oh, God! Awesome!
Well, that actually goes into our next two questions. So these are both related. So Cardinal Girl 75 from Discord. Before Sam interferes, which of the remaining candidates would have gotten your vote for Lord Commander? And Savick from Gmail asks, for whom of the candidates would you have voted? Who would have made the best Lord Commander in your opinion if it had not been for John?
I mean, I would have voted for Ed, but I don't know that he would have been the best.
Same.
It's like a second. Like, he's second in command. I think he'd be good to have that bounce your eyes ideas off of with his, you know, brutal honesty.
Oh. Do we know?
I kind of think Cotter Pike. I really think Cotter Pike probably was the better choice, but oh well.
I really don't know.
I mean, I don't know enough about Cotter Pike, and doesn't Bowen Marsh turns into quite the asshole, doesn't he?
You mean like when he stabs John?
Yeah.
I don't know
spoilers, right?
I mean, that doesn't mean he'd be a bad, I mean, you know, I'm not saying he should have stabbed John. I'm just saying, like, he may have been fine. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, with what we know at this point, yes, to an extent. But then he backs Janice Slund, so...
Yeah, that's not a great judge of character there.
I think, because it's interesting that Sir Alistair Thorne, like, when Sam mentions that, I mean, he had to take his name out of the running. It was fairly early on because he was just such a dick to everybody that, like, came through training and all those things. But in another world, he actually would have made a good Lord Commander.
under in another personality.
Another personality. Yeah, yeah. If he had a completely different personality.
Yes. Yeah.
Because he is very qualified outside of that.
Right.
Like, I'm kind of surprised that instead of Janos Slynt, I'm trying to, like, it would have made more sense to me if Alistair Thorne could have been the Janos Slynt of this election.
Right, right.
I'm not saying he'd be a good Lord Commander. Maybe he would, but I mean, it would have made more sense. He'd still be the enemy. He'd still be the threat. But at least he'd be somebody who'd been with the Watch.
Yeah, Janos Slynt really comes out of nowhere.
And is there really, like, in the big scheme of things, is there, like, what is the thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we don't. Oh, gosh. And is that it for mail?
Oh, yes, that's all.
Mail. Okay. Anybody have any final thoughts on this?
I don't know. I can't wait to get to the next chapters.
Oh, there is one more piece of mail. Sorry.
Oh, okay. That's okay. That's good.
So Kicking Dogs on Discord asks, when is the show coming out if it's recorded on March 24th? Because March 28th is my birthday, and I wanted to see if I could get a shout out.
Oh, that's for Wynn. Yes. Happy birthday, Wynn. Sorry.
Happy birthday.
Three days before mine.
Oh, that's cool. Happy birthday.
I think this is going to be a happy belated birthday because it's going to come out in April. Right?
Yes.
Happy birthday. Nevertheless, happy birthday.
Okay. You can reach us at closethedoor and at gmail.com on Tumblr at closethedoor and come here at tumblr.com. Submit questions to the chapter threads on the Jamie and Brand subreddit. Follow us on Twitter at Door Podcast. Please like, review, subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, wherever you might listen, and support us on Patreon at Close the Door. I'm closing the door. Get out.